No fear.
Good. He datavised the flight computer to open the spaceplane hangar doors. Anything from Kelly yet?
Sorry, Joshua, only static.
She said they wouldn't be out from under the cloud until this afternoon, Sarah pointed out. It isn't quite noon there yet.
I know, but that cloud is still growing, even the grey section.
If it reaches the mountains, they'll be in serious trouble. The hovercraft won't be able to handle that sort of country. They will be trapped between the two.
We can wait, Daly said, for a week if we have to.
Joshua nodded vaguely, eyes tight shut as he flipped through the sensor inputs, desperate for any sort of hint.
Come on, Kelly, he murmured. Show us you're there.
Ryle padded stealthily through the long grass. The scent of humans was strong in the air. Many had passed very recently, but none were near him now. After leaving his master, he had run swiftly east, the big weight fastened round his neck, jouncing about uncomfortably. After a couple of kilometres, the master-love thoughts in his brain had guided him to one side. He had traced a wide curve over the savannah. Now he was heading back to his starting point. When he reached a wide swath of grass, beaten down by many tramping feet, Ryle waited at the edge for a moment, listening, sniffing. Instinct told him he was alone. Satisfied, the master-love thoughts urged him out. The swath led all the way back to the jungle. He turned the other way. 500 meters ahead of him, the homestead cabin jutted up out of the grassland. He hurried towards it, a hungering sensation racing through his blood. The grass was beaten down all around the cabin. Fences had been broken. Cows wandered about, grazing placidly, paying no attention to him. Goats saw him coming and ran jerkily until they realized he wasn't chasing them. Chickens escaped from their smashed pen, were scratching in the dirt. They scattered, squawking, when he trotted up to the cabin. Height. The master love thoughts wanted him to have height. Ryle swung his big head from side to side, viewing the back wall of the cabin, then loped over to a pile of composite pods stacked at one corner. He jumped, bounding up the pods, then sprang for the eaves. Paws skated unsteadily on the solar cell panels nailed to the roof, but he found his footing on the ginger qualtuk bark tiles and scampered his way up to the apex. His master used his eyes to peer out across the savannah. The line of men carrying pikes were a kilometre away, and almost lost in the gloaming ahead of them, the band of knights on horseback galloped after their prey. Ryle felt a curious mix of excitement and sorrow, but the master-love thoughts were full of gentle praise. He thumped his tail on the qualtuk tiles in response. Then the master-love thoughts were guiding his left forepaw to the heavy weight hanging from his neck. He bent his head round and watched attentively as his extended nails caught the edge of a small hinged panel and eased it open. Glowing squares were revealed. Master-love adoration flowed through him. Very carefully his nail touched one of the squares. Once, twice, thrice. The space plane stopped shaking as it dropped to subsonic velocity. It had been a fast, steep descent. Ashley had made the little craft stand almost on its tail to aerobrake. Now he leveled out and datavised the wings into their forward sweep position. Nose-mounted sensors showed him the mountains rolling past below. The fringe of the cloud was 50 kilometres to the north. Short, puffy fronds extended out from the main bulk, snaking through the air like blind, searching insect antennae towards the foothills. He datavised the flight computer for a channel up to the Lady Macbeth.
Any word yet?
Nothing, Joshua replied. Sarah says the observation satellites recorded that patch of cloud turning grey immediately after the Durringham nuke. We're not too sure what that means, but then I don't think normal logic applies here.
Too right. I've got enough power in the electron matrices for a 5-hour flight before I have to come back up and recharge.
If you want that extending, I could land on one of these peaks. They're fairly isolated.
No, you keep airborne.
Frankly, if they're not out of there in 5 hours, I don't think we'll see them again. And I've already lost one crewman today.
You didn't lose him, Joshua. silly old fart. Now I've got to come back and wander through Aethra's parkland, talking to the trees. Hell, he'd love that. Kill himself, laughing, I'd expect.